Time to chat with one of our favorite people. She is a survivor of a gang rape that took place in 1998. We know it included two Oregon State football players. She came forward with her story. She is now on a mission. Visit the site SetTheExpectation.com. She talks to young people about the critical issues related to sexual assault, and I dare you to get in her way. It's always my pleasure to welcome in Brenda Tracy. BT, how are you doing these days?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. You can follow Brenda on Twitter, the handle at BrendaTracy24. Brenda, in radio, we always have people listening for a first time or who might not be familiar. So let's not assume anything regarding the critical work you do. So if you would, explain your Set the Expectation effort.
Sure. So Set the Expectation is a campaign where we raise awareness, number one, about issues of sexual violence, domestic violence, that sort of thing. But then also what we do is we aim to engage men as the solution. We talk about men as the problem a lot, but not as the solution. And specifically talking to athletes and coaches, simply because of their influence, their platform, their power, to affect other people and to affect culture change.
You know, one aspect of your work that you just mentioned that has struck me from day one and really is at the core of everything, and I know you've said it a million times, and I don't know if we could say it a million more times if that's enough. If women could end sexual violence against women, it would have happened already. So, kind of elaborate, while men are overwhelmingly the majority of the perpetrators, about how important is it and how do you feel you're getting that message across that, man, guys got to play a big role in the solution?
Yeah, they have to. And, you know, at every session when I work with athletes or any men in general at all, I mean, the truth is, if women could stop sexual violence alone, if we could do it by ourselves, we would have already done it. This would not be an issue. I would not exist as a rape survivor. Men are absolutely the missing component to this issue. About 98% of all sexual violence is carried out by a man. This is a male issue. But it's only about 10% of the male population committing these crimes, which means 90% of our men are good. They would never commit these crimes. The problem is that they're silent, right? Maybe they're complicit in their inaction. They're complicit in their silence. Or they just think, I'm a good guy. Why is this my problem? Well, the reason it's your problem is because if women alone can't stop it, are the 10% of the men committing these crimes going to do anything to stop it? No.
No.
So who does that leave? It leaves the 90%.
By the way, you could also visit BrendaTracy.com. So you were a part of this NCAA commission to combat sexual violence, and the effort was to ban violent athletes, be it denial of scholarships or opportunities. Explain what you wanted from these various sports conferences, and that while you suffered a setback, you know, this fight still goes on and people can still have their voice heard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The idea was to attach eligibility to behavior. The same way that we attach eligibility to grades. Every athlete knows what grades they need to have. They know what classes they need to go to. They have an army of people around them saying, what are your grades? Are you doing okay? Do you need a tutor? Are you eligible? Right? Team effort. Keep everybody eligible. Well, what if we did that with behavior? What if the athlete knew if I commit domestic violence or commit an act of rape, I don't get to play sports? What happens in the mind of that athlete? But then more so, what happens to all the people around the athlete? Because now they know the behavior of the athlete is connected to eligibility. Now they're going to have conversations about consent, healthy relationships, anything that could affect behavior. So my goal with the NCAA was to attach eligibility to behavior. They said no. Too complicated. We don't want to do it. So I'm now working at the school level and the conference level to get these rules passed. The Big Sky Conference has already done it. The rule is in 10 different states through their conference. And I'm just working hard to make this happen. We have to have behavior matters. And our athletes need to understand that.
Absolutely. Talking with Brenda Tracy, and I'd imagine most folks know we're going to get to Art Briles and this obscene decision in Texas, but you also have so much going on. What are you up to right now as far as fundraising, spreading awareness, maybe some recent experiences that you could share?
So I think the biggest thing I'm focused on right now is the curriculum. I have Set the Expectation is now a nonprofit. If you go to settheexpectation.com or .org, it'll take you to the same place. But you can go to the nonprofit website. And we're working on a curriculum to work with coaches and with athletes about how to set the expectation, right? So we talk about consent, talk about bystander, talk about men as a solution. How do we change the culture in a way that our athletes and our men want to get engaged and want to see the culture change? So if people would go there, donate, that would be amazing. We need money to fund the curriculum. But that's one of the lofty goals I have right now, is to get that going.
All right, let's get back to Friday. The Mount Vernon School District in Texas hires a disgraced ex-Baylor coach, Art Briles. He's going to now be a high school coach. And we get what I refer to as the second chance patrol. And Brenda, my thought has always been his second chance was when he turned his back on the first victim. Then his third chance was when he tried to cover it up. So when people put that to you, doesn't he deserve a second chance? What's your reply?
Well, what about the second chance for the victims? What, you know, how many people are really rallying around worried about their lives and how they're doing? They didn't get millions of dollars from Baylor, as he did. And the other thing is why does a second chance have to involve him coaching? Is a second chance just him being a good citizen and being a productive member of society? Second chances don't have to include him coaching.
No, I agree. And a second chance could be him not having had charges brought against him and threatening his freedom. You know, I saw a report on a TV station in Dallas where they quoted you and featured you. And first of all, the video of the school board cheering upon announcing the hiring, but a unanimous vote. What could you tell us about the message that this sends, where the multi-levels of insulting and what your response was when you were talking to that station?
Yeah, when I first saw the video of them cheering and clapping and laughing for him, I literally felt sick to my stomach. It was so disrespectful and so demeaning and so mean to survivors. Basically, this school is just saying, we don't care about rape. It's not that big of a deal. Sexual assault's not that big of a deal. You know, a winning coach can basically bounce back from anything. And you have to wonder, you know, try to put yourself in the position of the parent of a survivor, or the brother or the sister of a survivor, or the survivor themselves, and see these people laughing and joking and carrying on about this football hire when your loved one's life is being destroyed. How would you feel watching that? It's disgusting, and they absolutely should be so ashamed of themselves and so embarrassed for that video. It's so mean. Awful.
You would think empathy wouldn't be that difficult.
I know.
Couple final thoughts for our guest, Brenda Tracy. So last month, you find out one of your attackers, Jason Dandridge, is going to be inducted into his high school's Hall of Fame. But what could you tell me about the roles of one of the alum, Eric Lyman, and the superintendent, I hope I get his name right, Martin Rex Kedzoria, and how he did not duck the issue, but he actually dealt with it, it seems like, a human being, and contacted you directly?
He did, yeah. So apparently, my understanding is that the school didn't Google, because, I mean, all you have to do is Google Jason Dandridge. They didn't Google him to see what he's been up to for the last 20 years since he played football there, and they thought it was a good idea to induct him into their Hall of Fame. And so I obviously spoke out about it. One of their alums contacted the school and was like, what are you doing? Like, are you kidding me? And so what ended up happening was that gentleman, the superintendent from the district, had reached out to me and asked to speak to me. So I got on the phone with him, and he said, you know, we're really sorry about this. We will absolutely do our due diligence in the future. This was an oversight on our part. It doesn't mean that that's okay, but we really want you to know that you matter, and what happened to you matters, and we care about you, and we're really sorry that this happened.
Jeez.
And meant a lot to me. I thought it was a... That was a good move, and I'm actually looking at Mount Vernon right now to say we made a mistake. This is not okay, and, you know, I'm hoping they'll reverse their decision about this hire.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be enough outcry. One final thing, Brenda. I mentioned it's been about 5 years since you told your story and started this amazing effort, and I know how much you share and also what you deal with as far as the vile hatred. But despite, let's say, the despicable people, are you encouraged? Do you see progress? Do you feel like maybe we're actually chipping away and getting us towards a place that's better and, you know, maybe guided by decency and not what the scoreboard reads?
Yes, I believe we are. I believe it's slow, very slow.
Yeah.
But just within this, but within a couple of years, I launched the Set the Expectation campaign in April 2017. But within just a couple of years, we're seeing more and more schools involved, more and more coaches. You know, I don't know, you know, the pushback we're seeing in the media right now with our trials, I don't know that we would have seen that 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
So to me, that signals progress. That signals that people are starting to understand the trauma, the lifelong trauma that survivors deal with. People are starting to understand messaging and how important messaging is and how it affects culture. And people are listening. And, you know, I've been busy. I came forward, it's actually been about 4 years ago, because it was at the end of 2014. But, you know, people are listening, and I'm busy. I do a lot of work, policy work, NCAA stuff. I'm speaking all the time. This is a full-time career for me, so people are listening. And I do think we're making progress. I wish it was faster, but that's okay. You know, I'm down to keep working, and I hope people will keep listening, and I hope people will keep getting involved and realizing that this is on all of us to change this.
Well, I've noticed a little bit of a change, and like you said, I wish we could do like a Bewitched and twitch our nose and it all was better, but
right. I wish you could put me out of a job.
Right, the only person who wishes she was unemployed.
Yes, exactly. Oh, please, I wish I could go back to my nursing job.
Folks, check it out, settheexpectation.com.org, brendatracy.com. On Twitter, it's at Brenda Tracy. Brenda, we always appreciate your time. Keep up the good fight. You know you have our eternal admiration and support. We hope you and yours are well. And as always, I look forward to talking again and seeing how we're doing down the road.
Perfect. Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Travel safe, Brenda. We'll talk soon.
Okay.